back-to-back clean sheets. It's a massive win with a capital M for Liverpool here at Bournemouth. Absolutely brilliant. Mo Salah scoring twice. Liverpool go 9 points clear at the top of the Premier League. It's going to be a jubilant return to Merseyside. Yes, we rode our luck in the second half at 1-0. Tavernier hits the post. The rebound, it's an open goal for an informed Kluivert, but he misses the target. 3 minutes later, Salah scores a wonderful goal to get the points. Opening goal, penalty. Robertson ball over the top. Chasing was Cody Gakpo. Tripped up by Lewis Cook on the retreat. Mo Salah steps in with a penalty. His 20th Premier League goal of the season. Semenya hit the crossbar in the first half as well. But the outstanding Salah, again from a Curtis Jones pass. Wonderful lift into the top corner. What a goal! 25th goal of the season. What a day! Bournemouth 0, Liverpool 2!
Another crucial 3 points for the Reds on the road, courtesy of Mo Salah's double, as described there by our commentator Steve Hunter. That result puts Liverpool 9 points clear of Arsenal at the top of the Premier League, ahead of the Gunners meeting with Manchester City on Sunday. I'm Becky Davis, and coming up in this episode of The Reaction, we'll hear from Arne Slot and Curtis Jones too. Former players Sammy Lee and Jason McAteer join me in the studio for LFC TV's post-match show, as well as our fan panel too, who were also on the programme. Josh Williams, Matt Ladson and Yashin Mohamed Bookers from the official LFC Supporters Club in London. First though, to Ray Houghton we go. He watched the game at the Vitality Stadium with our reporter Mark Benstead.
Thank you, Becky. Yeah, the temperature dropping here at the Vitality just now. The players inside getting themselves washed, changed, showered, ready for the flight home. But I think, Ray, it is a flight they'll head to pretty satisfied with the work they've done. A big, big result in a difficult place.
Absolutely massive. When you think they're restricted, a very good side to very few chances today. We've talked about Bournemouth. They've scored 9 goals in the last 2 league games. They never looked like that sort of team today. They didn't create enough chances. Liverpool were, I thought, defensively very astute. The two centre-backs played very, very well indeed. Keeper made a couple of vital saves late on to keep the scoreline at 2-0. But he took the chances at the right time. I thought they got the penalty at the right time. I have to give credit to Bournemouth. I thought the start of the second half, they came out with a different personality. They were quick onto the ball. They got on top of Liverpool, forced them backwards quite a lot. Liverpool was a little bit slow to play. But then Mo Salah, what a goal. That second goal was just poetry in motion. The way it was worked through the pitch. You know, Curtis done brilliant. Little ball played out to Mo and then he just passed it. I mean, it was absolutely, we were behind. It was absolutely beautifully watched. You know, there was nothing hurried about it. Just typical of Mo. 21st league goal of the season. You can't speak highly enough of him when it comes to that. He's just such an important factor, the goals that he scored.
Is that what maybe makes the difference as well in this division? Sometimes in a game like this, the big players can just turn it on in a moment, produce that moment of quality that makes a real difference and takes a game away from an opponent.
I think that was the difference when you look at their finishing compared to Liverpool's. You know, they had a few, they were a little bit scruffy with the shots at goal, whereas Mo, as I said, absolutely precise with that curler into the far corner, gave the goalkeeper no chance whatsoever. It was a lot of, I thought, good performances, not great performances, but if you're going to win the league title, and that's what Liverpool's trying to do this season, there's going to be games when you're not at your very best, but you find a way, you get across the line. You think of the away games recently, Nottingham Forest 1-1, go to Brentford, we know how good Brentford are at home, you win that game late on. And then today, and another team that are going really well, we've talked about them, 11 unbeaten in the league, and then Liverpool showed today just that quality when needed. Slowed the game down when needed to do it, quickened it up at the right times, brought on players from the bench to try to have an impact on the game as well. Manager utilised his squad once again for this match, and he'll be sitting in the changing room at the moment, a delighted man with the performance, just the way they went about it in a professional manner.
Is there a resilience within the performances as well? It's not just what we're seeing, getting the results in those difficult away games, but we saw in the game today when Bournemouth went again early in the second half, Liverpool responded and got themselves through that tricky spell.
Yeah, that's what you've got to dig deep at times. It's not always about playing the best football at every minute in the game. It's managing the game at the right times, and that's exactly what they've done. You know, they defended in numbers when they had to. I thought the midfielders got into a very good shape to frustrate the Bournemouth players, never giving them an opportunity really to get at them as often as they were alike. So all over the park, it was a professional performance. That was say about the Liverpool players today.
Yeah, and spirits are pretty high, as I'm sure you've just seen, as the players went to do the warm. Then a little wave to the camera from Harvey Elliott. And we're going to hang around down here, try and get a bit of reaction from the dressing room as well.
A big thanks to Mark and to Ray as well. As mentioned, Sammy Lee and Jason McAteer are here with me in the studio. And that was a really fascinating afternoon, wasn't it, down at the Vitality. Bournemouth taking the game to Liverpool at times. But in the end, Mo Salah, as is often the case, the difference on the day.
Yeah, both teams played their part this afternoon, didn't it? Really good watch. Obviously, from a Liverpool perspective, it was great to get over the line, 3 points, but it's a real tricky game. And I just said at the end of commentary there, I think if you look back at the end of the season and Liverpool lift the title, there's certain moments in a season you go, ooh, that was a big turning point. I think the Brentford game where we were 0-0 for so long and then Nunes comes on and scores two, that was a big turning point for me. But the game today was a possible banana skin, wasn't it? I mean, this is a really informed Bournemouth team. They've done the double over City, taking points off Arsenal, Spurs, Newcastle, Forest. Yeah. You know, they've answered a lot of questions, this Bournemouth team, and Iriola's done a fantastic job. And you just thought this could be a bit tricky for Liverpool away, especially with the game tomorrow as well. You know, the importance of 3 points today. You just felt if Liverpool get the 3 points, tomorrow's a big, big game, isn't it, for City and Arsenal. If they drop points, Arsenal, it's a massive step for Liverpool in the right direction. So we've done our part. We just need Man City to help us now, don't we?
We shall see how it unfolds tomorrow. But you said exactly the same to Jason when you came in to see me, where you said seasons are made up of moments, and that does feel like one today again.
It does, Becky, and again, you've got to be careful that we don't go look too far ahead of ourselves. But I think come the end of the season, you look upon that and that would be a crucial, crucial win. Fascinating game, as you said. Mm-hmm. Two teams going for it. And someone was talking about in the studio there, it's nice to see two teams attacking each other, you know. Mm-hmm. And what I loved about today is that, you know, second half, they were on the front foot from the first minute to the last. And we found a way to win. We were resilient. We've used that word before. And again, the man comes out with the goods, you know, fantastic. In transition, by the way, which Phil mentioned before the game, we were defending the edge of our area, three or four passes. Curtis Jones had a great part to play in that, and next thing Mo does his magic, and it's in the back of our net, or their net, sorry.
Yeah, it's really true what Sammy says there. It was a different challenge today for Liverpool because you're so used to teams just sitting back and, you know, Liverpool have to try and find a way to break them down, whereas Bournemouth full of confidence, and they really did go at Liverpool today.
Liverpool have taken criticism this season from sort of outside noise where people have been saying, listen, you know, for instance, Man City, you played Man City when they aren't very good, you played Man United when they aren't very good, yeah. Arsenal were missing 10 players and you've managed to play them that weekend. You've still got to beat what's put in front of you. But today was one of them games where, OK, there was a lot of injuries in that camp at Bournemouth, but they're still a team that have rattled goals past a lot of top quality opposition. So, you know, it was a real test for Liverpool. But, you know, it was a funny one because, you know, when you win a title, I mean, I have not won a title and Sammy's won loads and I'm sure he can explain. But there's moments in that game today where the open goal, Cliver, where he misses the chance. McAllister could have gone off, you know, and you just think, is it?
Alisson made two great saves as well, by the way.
Yeah,
two great saves.
So, I was just going to mention Ali.
Sorry, Beck, go on.
I was just going to mention Ali, but we'll go with what Jason says in terms of it's fine margins sometimes, isn't it? Because if that Cliver chance goes in, you're looking at a very different picture.
Very much so, but that's what this game's all about. And Liverpool capitalised upon that. He should have scored the guy. He'll know that. And I'm sure he won't want to look at that again. But as you say, fine margins. We went down the other end of the pitch and put one in the back of the net. That's the difference in class, you know. I'm not saying that Cliver is in class. He will be, but he'll rue that miss. Mm. But football, as you say, is about fine margins. And thankfully, we came on top of that today. You mentioned about criticism, Liverpool playing against teams when they're not playing best. That doesn't bother me because Liverpool are playing the best. Liverpool are playing some great football. They're a fantastic football team and they've always got opportunities to win. And whoever, as you said, whoever you play against, that's by the by. We've just got to do our bit, which we did today, and so pleased for
it. Is there ever a moment in your career where you've won a title and you've looked back and there was a moment that sticks out in your mind where you think?
Well, there's quite a few, maybe, because as you said before, over the number of seasons, but it's one of them where they just add up, and the main thing is just getting over that line. And back in our day, it was a different game then. We won games like that. I mean, you win titles by playing games like that, you know, by, if you like, winning ugly or very, very difficult games, you know. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but again, we'll look back upon that at the end of the season and say that was a crucial moment, as was Brentford, as you say.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke about it pretty much where Jace obviously wasn't with us, but you were saying ultimately, if you're going to be champions, you face certain challenges throughout the course of a season, and champions will find a way to overcome those challenges. And Liverpool have pretty much done that every single time.
They've answered every question up to now. And there's a lot more questions to be answered. I mean, he's been very consistent with his team selection. And as Sammy will tell you, when you get to that like sort of early April and the games start coming thick and fast over that Easter period, your squad is stretched. You know, you're looking at suspensions, you're looking at injuries, fatigue sets in, you're starting to go deep into the squad then, you'd have to make changes.
And you know what, you have to, again, at the risk of repeating myself, Beck, we say it every time you invite me on, look at the impact that the change has made. When
he's been good, Annie, with
his subs. His selections have been fantastic. His substitutions have been fantastic. But give credit to the boys as well. When they come on, Bradley comes on to the injury. Nunes, Curtis Jones come on, had a big part to play. I thought he was terrific. So, again, I'm repeating myself, Becky, but this is what's going to make the difference between Liverpool, you know, winning games and losing games. That we spoke about it beforehand. We've got strength and depth. Look at our bench. And not only are they under it, when they come on, they have a massive impact in the outcome of the game, which for any coach or manager is crucial.
The McAllister decision would have been a difficult one for him, because he would have been looking at that, not wanting to take him off. Because he's the player who dictates the tempo. He gets on it, he slows it down, he sees a pass. You know, he's an important cog in that Liverpool wheel.
He's in danger of being sent off, don't you know.
And he's looking at it thinking, I could lose him. Yeah. I could lose him for three games, two games, one game if he gets sent off. You know, what do I want to do? I don't want to take him off. And it's a brave manager to go, come on, you're coming off, and then throw Curtis. I mean, Curtis is a quality player, and for me, I've got no problem bringing him on. But he certainly wouldn't have wanted to bring McAllister off, but he was just getting wrapped up in the emotion of the game, wasn't he?
Let's speak about the penalty incident. When we watched it with the naked eye, it was the rear view that I think it really is a definite penalty when you look at that. You were quite convinced, Jace, I think, from the...
I was more worried about offside. Yeah, I was convinced it was just clumsy. I mean, sometimes, I mean, I played in that position myself. When you get caught, your instant reaction is to get back goal side in between the man and the goal. And you always
face that. As the forward, he was great, Gakpo. He went across. I mean, he enticed the touch, enticed the contact, which, as you so rightly say, the kid is struggling to get back in position because the ball had gone beyond him. Gakpo, very, very clever, just took that two steps across him and enticed the penalty.
From the full-back union, I fell for him, to be honest. I did, because like Sammy says, you know, you get done by a bit of good play from a winger where he does get in front of you and he gets a, you know, inside you, and you're trying to get back that side, and then your legs just collide, and then this day and age they go down, don't they, with a breath of wind. But he's took the opportunity, he's been clipped and he's gone down. But the worry for me was offside, because the angle we had,
very close,
you know, when you think he's in front you go offside, but he read the line really well. The centre half was a bit slow getting out, wasn't he?
We are going to get some reaction, of course we are, from the Vitality, but let's bring in our Zoom guests and get their thoughts. Josh, I'm going to come to you first. What did you make of that?
It was roughly what I expected, to be fair. I thought it'd be, you know, a bit of an end-to-end affair. I thought it'd be a bit chaotic, two really attacking sides, two really youthful sides as well, full of energy and things. And that's what happened, really. You know, Liverpool have delivered success for the most part this season by controlling the opposition. And I think Bournemouth are up there in the Premier League with the teams that are the trickiest to control, probably just because of the nature of the way they're playing, you know, the manager and things, the speed that they've got. So given all that context, you know, it's away from home, it's a big weekend for the Premier League, considering Arsenal face City tomorrow. You know, I thought Liverpool dealt with what they had in front of them really well this weekend, and putting the pressure on Arsenal, getting a win, getting a clean sheet as well somehow. I thought Alisson was brilliant. But, yeah, I mean, we take that every day of the week. I thought this was going to be a difficult game. I thought we might have escaped here with a draw or something going into it, to be honest. So to come out with a win, clean sheet, nice gap between first and second, that'll do.
Josh, it was a very difficult game, as you say. Who would you say out of all that? Help me and Jason out, if you don't mind, please, mate, because who would you say would be our man of the match there today? Because it was a team effort, wasn't it? But did any one person stand out for you?
To be honest, I think I'd lean towards two. I don't know if you can deliver two man of the match awards, but I think Alisson at one end, obviously really, really good, stepping up in big moments and making some big saves. And I know Bournemouth hit the post once or twice as well, so some of it's just on Bournemouth's finishing, but I thought when Alisson was needed, he was there. And then at the other end, I mean, around the time Salah scores that second goal, the game is kind of drifting a little bit towards Bournemouth's way. And you could argue we scored that goal against the one to play. So for Salah to deliver with a moment like that, just give you that two-goal cushion, I felt like Bournemouth's head, you know, the crowd and things like that, dropped a little bit after that. So I just lean towards Salah and Alisson, really, which you can probably say most weeks.
You've set a trend then, Josh. Set a trend. Two man of the matches now then, OK, mate?
We'll give you two today.
Getting expensive.
We'll give you two today. That's fair enough. Matt, I'll come to yourself. We might as well get your man of the match, but also your thoughts on the game overall. It was stressful at times, but a really valuable 3 points, that.
Yeah, very stressful. I mean, in terms of the man of the match, I don't think you can look beyond what Josh has said, like the one at each end. Obviously, Salah, two goals once again, and really takes the pressure off in that second half because it was building. My sort of hatred for draws is very well known, but this was a game going into it where you kind of felt like a draw would actually be an okay result. And just for it being a tough away game in the middle of a tough run of games in quick succession. So to be able to come away 3 points, 9 points clear, and now we can actually enjoy the game tomorrow. Almost not expecting anything from our perspective in terms of whether City would do us a favour, which would be very rare. But then we can actually accept a draw tomorrow. That'd be great, both of them dropping points. And then look forward to Thursday night with a different competition over the next week. And, you know, things really looking bright at the moment. And what was a tough game has turned into, you know, another fantastic opportunity taken by the squad.
Yeah, let's go to Yasin, because it does feel like a very big 3 points. They're all big, but especially because this one was seen as maybe a bit of a banana skin. Everyone's had their eyes on it for a few weeks now as a really tricky fixture.
Yeah, especially what they did with Titi Basel before. But I think it was very professional today. You know, we went there. I think that they started the prep way before, you know, by leaving all the players for the PSG tie. Yeah, we just were in motion, delivered it today very professionally. We knew we would suffer at times, but that's what happens to great teams that want to go on and, you know, achieve great success towards the end of the season. So, you know, we couldn't have asked any more from the players. Yeah, for me, man of the match was Ali, to be honest. You know, he's been a big, big, massive presence in there, because you could see even on the private, they probably thinking, is Ali going to come back to that? But yeah, that's a massive win for us. You know, now it's over to you, Arsenal, really.
Yeah, listen, we're going to speak about Mohamed Salah. Of course, we are a lot throughout this show. But let's give Ali credit where credit is due, because there's saves and then there's saves. And that was world-class near the
fantastic
end, Sammy.
Fantastic, because it came off one of our players. It was a reaction save, you know, reflex save. And listen, that's why he's there. That's why he's the best in the world, you know. We introduced this spine a couple of seasons back with the goalkeeper and the centre-half. And I have to say to you, for me, it's proved its worth. You know, for me, they're priceless, and I just think that. And all the best Liverpool goalkeepers have been like that. They've produced saves at crucial moments, keeping us in the game, winning us the game, if you like. And I think it's great to hear what the panel say, because we quite often go to forward players when we talk about man of the match or midfielders, as I did. But I just think it's great that all three of them have identified what an important part Ali played in getting them 3 points today. Crucial, mate.
Yeah, he was furious last weekend not to get the clean sheet against Ipswich, conceding in the dire minutes. He will be thrilled with a clean sheet. Sammy, you don't talk about clean sheets.
What did you say? Is he going mad?
No. I've been lambasted for saying clean sheets every time I come on this programme. The last 2 weeks I haven't, and everybody else is talking about them, you know.
Listen, when we conceded, he'd scare me to death going in that dressing room, because you know you were getting the dressing down. Because I mean, listen, these are legends, aren't they? They know that the foundations, that the team's built on clean sheets. Yeah. You get a clean sheet, you've got a chance, haven't you? But it's no coincidence that every title-winning team has got a great keeper. Yeah, you know, if you look through Liverpool's history, but then you go into the Premier League and you look at Seaman, Schmeichel, you know, they've all had fantastic goalkeepers. They're worth their weight in goal because they're worth points. You know, they rack up a lot of points, and it doesn't go unnoticed. I know Salah gets the plaudits today, and the lads spoke about it really well, saying, you know, heroes come when needed, and, you know, Salah steps up and whips one in the top corner. The body language of the Bournemouth players, the shoulders, like that, didn't he? It was like, immediately. But then, you know, at the other end, because it's not glamorous sometimes, you know, the defending is a massive part of the game. And when you've got a goalkeeper behind you like that, I mean, I'm not saying I wish I had one like that behind me, but maybe it might have been different. But, I mean, he's worth his weight in gold. Sammy's right. He's such a good player.
It's the mental focus sometimes when you're a keeper as well, isn't it? Because when you're a keeper for a side like Liverpool, maybe today is not the perfect example, but some games, he doesn't have an awful lot to do for quite a long time, and yet he's switched on.
Very much so, Beck. And as you so rightly say, today was different because second half, we were put under a lot of pressure. But for me, when you talk about the psychological side, the mental side of it, to just make that little reflexive move, to make that save off, could have been an own goal. It was groundbreaking. And for me, it wins you the game. It wins you the game. And defending, you know, in recent times, as being to see, is a lost art. I look at the likes of Virgil now, he's bringing it back into it. It is a skill, it is an art. And also the goalkeeping, because for me, it's a back five now, not a back four, it's a back five. And even talk about when the playing out from the back, his distribution is fantastic. But a lost art has been reintroduced. And as you so rightly say, the better teams have the best goalkeepers because it keeps clean sheets and you win games on that.
Do you know what though, Sam? I'm a little bit like that with Alisson, because obviously Quvain is one of ours. And I've always liked it when there's an Irishman in that Liverpool team and he's that close, isn't he? But unfortunately, he's got the world's best keeper in front of him. And, you know, trying to get in when
it's
he's the best.
It's an impossible task, isn't
it? It's impossible.
But you know what, Beck? We spoke before the game back in the day about having a nucleus of Scottish players you were talking about.
We did.
Similar to Irish as well, because when we've been successful, we've had good Irish players in the team. Good Irish players. And you mentioned Green, you know, it is difficult for him. But again, whenever he's come in,
he's done
a great job, yeah.
We spoke about the penalty incident. Let's speak, of course, about the man who puts the penalty away, Mo Salah, because with that, he registered 20 Premier League goals, Jason, for this season. Obviously, the 21st was to come later on in the game, but are there any more plaudits that we can give Mohamed Salah? I think we're struggling in such a positive way to think of any more superlatives to describe him.
I said in commentary, I don't know what to say anymore. I mean, it sounds a bit false when you keep saying it, doesn't it? But, I mean, there is. I mean, his first season, he set a benchmark that you think there's only one way to go. And, I mean, he's never quite reached it, but, you know, that expectation, you know, can lay heavy on a player when he scores that amount of goals. But when you start scoring 20-plus in the last five seasons, you just got to look at him as, you know, a phenomenon. You know, he's absolutely fantastic. All kinds of goals as well.
I think it's all been said about him, but I'd love to give him a title of season 24-25 Premier League winner. I'd love that to be at the end of the season, because his stats, everybody can talk about them and you can't argue against them. I just hope he gets what he deserves. It's just rewards, you know, because he's been fantastic for this football club. And as you say, different goals, different types of goals, turning games, winning games for us, games when we're under the cosh. And as you so rightly said before, they were under the ascendancy. He scores the goal, their body language just completely changed. Because goals change games, it's a cliche, goals change games, and I just hope he gets the rewards he deserves.
He's never injured as well, Sam. He's always fit.
He looks after himself.
You know what winds me up a little bit? I mean, I'm not a lover of the Ballon d'Or because of the politics that are involved in it, and, you know, and I can never understand why he's never in the running.
Yeah.
I just, every year, it's the same names, and he always sits like, oh, in ninth place, in eighth place is most. Sometimes he doesn't even break the top 10. And I'm like, what has he got to do? Yeah. He's playing in the best league in the world.
Best team in the world.
Yeah, playing for one of the biggest teams in the world. Challenging for European honours, we have done for the last 4 or 5 seasons, while he's been there. Setting unbelievable records. I mean, he's broken another one today, hasn't he? He's gone ahead of Frank Lampard, I think,
yes,
today.
Yes, we'll show you that in a minute.
And he never gets in the conversation.
Yeah.
And the time and time I've said it working for other TV channels, and it's just, not that I've got any sway, but I just don't understand how he just doesn't get...
It's an interesting point to bring our fans in, I think, and ask Josh, why does Mohamed Salah not get the credit that clearly he does deserve? He gets the credit here on Merseyside, but does that extend to across Europe? I'm not sure that it does.
Yeah, I'm not sure, to be fair. It's a impossible question to answer, really. You know, he just delivers every single week, guarantees 20 goals a season, guarantees 35 starts in the Premier League every season. I checked over the weekend, actually, and the closest challenger to him in terms of goals and assists in Europe's top five leagues this season is on 24. Salah's on 34 now, after getting two today. So right now, he's kind of in a league of his own. And he's just doing it so consistently, even in games where he goes, he seems to be relatively quiet and he almost trips under the radar. Even in those games, he then just goes and, you know, you check the score at the final whistle and he's got a brace or something like that, or he's, you know, he's registered two really important assists, or he's won a penalty or whatever it is. So he's just such an important player. And I think when it comes to like having an impact on actually winning matches, you know, points and things like that, I think we've seen a lot of attackers over the years who are creative and aesthetically pleasing and tricky and things like that, but their actual impact on the results could be better, basically. I think Salah's just got that nailed and always has had that nailed, just has such an impact on the eventual scoreline.
Matt, I'll bring you in on this, because Mo Salah, it should be said, as we all know, turns 33 this summer. I mean, the way he looks after himself, you can probably knock a few years off that, I think. But he just seems to be defying the ageing process and getting better and better.
Yeah, I mean, if we all could have like a swimming pool and a private gym and a cryotherapy chamber in our house, that'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? Slow down that ageing process. But yeah, you know, he's so dedicated to his craft. That also is so good for the rest of the squad that they see the dedication that he has. You know, we speak about the goals, and it's also the assists. He's got the most assists this season than in any season in his career. So he's developing as a footballer as well. His all-round game. And I've said for a long time now that he's the most underrated player probably ever to play for Liverpool in terms of wider football. And exactly what Jason was saying, you know, I think that he wasn't even nominated for the African Football of the Year this year. I don't understand how that's possible that he's not, you know, almost automatically winning that. But he seems very, very intent on getting that second Premier League title. And you never know if there's another shiny cup to go with that. Maybe he will finally get European acclaim, and that Ballon d'Or might be something that he'll really cement his legacy with. Obviously, it's been a long time since Liverpool players won the award. So, yeah, just keep on doing what he's doing. I don't think anybody else has the end product that he has. Like what Josh was saying, that there's a lot of players who maybe just are clinical in front of goal, and some that are all skills and not clinical, but Mo is both. I mean, look at the cross for Trent early on in the first half was just absolute, you know, class outside of the boot. Shows how comfortable he is, but being able to do the things that a lot of footballers aren't able to do, especially at that level.
Yeah, Shane, I'm sure you'll echo what the lads have said, but just some more stats here. It's the fifth time Mo has hit the 20-goal mark in the Premier League overall. The others to do that, Alan Shearer, Sergio Aguero, Harry Kane, of course, and Thierry Henry as well. And he manages to do it while getting rough treatment from defenders week in and week out, because he got that today again, but nothing he's not used to, I'm sure.
No, I think it was a good challenge today, because Kirk has been spoken a lot highly during the season, so I think Mo has delivered always when it mattered. Coming back to the question of why does he not want the Ballon d'Or, is he not, I don't know, maybe it's to do with his national team, really, because if you look at other players that have been nominated, they play for, you know, European nations or the South American nations, but I really come on, the guy just produces, like, you know, you just know he's going to score this, you know he's going to deliver week in, week out, even when he goes through a quiet period, all of a sudden, bang, even second goal today, you know, you could see it coming, try stopping it, you know, we've seen it doing week in, week out as well, so I don't know, it's just, you know, and I know, I think every Liverpool fan knows personal accolades means a lot to Mo, so it'll be, you know, I'll be very, very delighted if, you know, depending on how this season progresses, if he finally manages to get that, because he puts in a lot of effort, both for club and country, you know, and also he's, you know, he's a role model in the community as well. So I think he would get what he deserves at the end of the season. I'm positive about that.
Thank you, Yashin. Let's speak about his second goal, because it was sublime, wasn't it? A move that I think I've written down here involved Curtis Jones, obviously, at the end gets the assist, but Darwin Nunes is involved, Luis Diaz is involved as well, and then Mo, of course, curls it into the corner, but a beautiful move.
I think a lot of players have benefited from the slight tweak in the manager's tactics and the way he plays, I think. You know, Gravenberch is obviously one of them standout players who's changed his game a little bit under Slot and has come to the forefront. I think Virgil van Dijk really appreciates the slower build-up and the more defensive cover because we're a bit more pragmatic at times. But I also think Salah's benefited from the way we play as well, and I think his decision-making has got a lot better this season in terms of, you know, the maybe a criticism of him was he was taking too many opportunities where we felt he could have maybe laid someone else in, and, you know, that was the argument with him, wasn't it? But I think certainly this season under Slot, his decision-making has been brilliant. But sometimes when you get in areas and you've got a one-on-one, which is what you're trying to do with your wingers, certainly one of that quality, is if you give him in that opportunity, you want him then to deliver. And Kerkez did really nothing wrong, Sam, did he? I mean, he shaped up, right? His body, you know, he's kind of, I mean, you can see the picture there. He's not really done anything wrong apart from say to Mo Salah, you're going to have to stick this in the top corner. But unfortunately, you've got a player who can do that. And that's exactly what he did. And, you know, Sammy touched on it before, you know, there are big moments in games. And that second goal was the biggest moment because it just settled. I think it settled Liverpool down. I think everyone, not a sigh of relief, but I took a breath. And the body language of the Bournemouth players thought, we're not going to come back from this now. So that moment was a crucial one. And, you know, fittingly, it was him.
He was frustrated to come off as well. I think he wanted the hat-trick, didn't he? He sort of rolled his eyes a little bit when his number was put up. But, right, we're going to hear from someone who was involved in that second goal. Curtis Jones is with Mark Benstead now.
Curtis, you're fresh from doing the warm down. Probably had not too much time to think about the result today, but does it feel like quite a significant and quite satisfying win, given their form of late?
Yeah, it was an important game. Always have to win games, of course we do. There's teams that are close in the league that are winning games as well. I think that every game is important. Of course, today, as you said as well, you know, it's a team that's in great form. The style of play is hard as well to play against. We've done well and we came away with a win, so that's the important thing.
Given they're a side that keeps going, they keep challenging, they did right until the final whistle pretty much. Yeah. How important was that second goal that you played a hand in?
It's huge. Away from home, the fans as well can smell a little bit of blood. I wouldn't say that and that we took our foot off the gas, but I think a team like them, you know, they're going to find a way back into the game. And that's what they did. They came close. I came on the pitch. I got an assist as well, and I changed the game as well. So, happy as well with that.
It wasn't just that, you know, that was one box to the other. Great work ethic, great commitment. Beyond that as well, as a few moments later, you were back in to cut a pass out.
I was in the ball. Again, you know, I'm just a lad who I just love to play the game, you know. If I start the game, if I don't, I want to impact the game as much as I can. I'm somebody as well, you know, who said that, you know, I want to score more goals, I want to assist more goals, I want to help the team even more. I don't just want to be a lad that's I'm just here because I'm part of the team and to see games out, you know, and plus there, you know, it shows the trust as well that, you know, that I've got. I had a small injury on my MCL. You know, I'm back after 10 days out, and I've came in and I've impacted the game. That's what I try and do.
It's been a theme this season that boys have come in and out the side and contributed at different times, be that games as a whole or during games. Is that something you started to speak about? You know, it's a real team effort, this campaign.
Yeah. Gaffer has spoke about that as well. You know, we play so many games, as game after game, and we need to hold the squad as well. And I think that's an important thing why we're doing well as well. There's guys who, you know, they need a break because they're playing a load of games. That are, you know, they're coming off the pitch and lads who are coming on. You know, they're doing well. So you know, if you start, if you don't start, you just know that you're a part of the team. It's a family thing, and we're in this as a one. And that's what we're showing as well, so I hope that it continues.
Cup semi on the horizon, go and get yourself a shower.
Thank you, mate.
Curtis Jones there, off to have a shower, according to Mark Benster. Right, we are taking a break here. When we come back, though, Arne Slot is on his way. We're back soon. Just a quick break in today's show to let you know that LFC TV Go is now available as a smart TV app on Amazon Fire TV, Android TV and Roku TV. You can watch all the latest on-demands and live content directly through your smart TV, whether that's full-match replays, post-match analysis, exclusive interviews or original documentaries that delve into the club's rich history and achievements. Simply download from your TV's app store, log in with your registered user details and get easy access to everything LFC. Now, let's get back to the show. Right, straight back down to the Vitality Stadium we go. Arne Slot is speaking to Mark Benstead about Liverpool's 2-0 win over Bournemouth this afternoon.
On a Bournemouth playing so well of late, such a good record here, what was the key to overcoming them today?
Work just as hard as them. The reason why this team is so successful, and the same is, it can be said about us, is because this both teams have quality, but both teams work incredibly hard. And that's also what I saw today from both teams. So it was a fight from the first to the last second. Wasn't an easy game for the referee as well, because a lot of challenges were made. And in the end, we might have been a bit lucky by winning 2-0. Although the shots that they had were not from close range, were from longer range.
You mentioned the work ethic. Is that something that's particularly pleasing, particularly in a game like this when Bournemouth came out, started the second half with such energy, such tempo, and it's almost like a second test again, all over again for your team?
Yeah. But that didn't come as a surprise, because when we were 3-0 up at half-time at Anfield, they came out second half and just kept on going. And then I already knew what a great mentality this team has. That is something where you have to give a lot of credits for the manager as well, that he's able to, for that, that they are so fit to work so hard, but that they can bring this every time they play is very well managed as well. And we had to work and dig really deep to get the win over the line, but that's what we did, and that's a big compliment, because they've picked points from every other team that is in the top six at the moment.
We've had some difficult away games of late, Forest, Brentford, here. What does it say about the group that you've come through all those tests and picked up points throughout all of them?
Yeah, all of them were different challenges, so we know from Forest that they don't bring the ball out from the back. They are constantly waiting for the counter-attack. Now, this team is pressing us all over the pitch. So challenges are always different, but they're all difficult. And this one as well. But it's very pleasing to see that under all these different circumstances, we are there to compete and even able to have two wins and one draw.
We'll see you on Thursday.
Thank you, we do.
Yeah, we look forward to Thursday, Tottenham. Let's speak about that now, because it feels like quite a while since that first leg, Jace, which I don't think is necessarily a good thing, because there was obviously a lot of spice to the way that game ended with Bell's goal that arguably should not have been on the pitch to score.
Yeah, it was a game of controversy, wasn't it? And I think we were slightly surprised, hadn't played them a couple of weeks before. And how many did we put past them? Six before, was it?
Yeah, it was 6-3.
In the league, 6-3. And yeah, I mean, you know, we let them back in with three goals. It was a really convincing performance. And then we go back down there for the first leg of the League Cup. And obviously we get undone. And the controversy was the player who scored should have been sent off. Mm. We had 10 men at the time. He scored, the irony. And you're right, you know, it would have been one of them. Get them straight back to Anfield for the second leg. Yeah. And everyone would have been up for it. But the dust has settled a little bit. And, you know, I wouldn't say, you know, as a club, Spurs, you know, are in a good place. It's kind of got worse for him a little bit, and Ange is under a lot of pressure, as Daniel Levy is, you know, to get the ship back in on the right course, languishing in the league, and, you know, they've got all this to play for. And I think Ange, you know, with the way the results have gone, you know, he'll really, really need this. This could save him.
I think this is going to be a night for the fans, Beck. I've got to be honest here, to get behind, because as you so rightly say, it has been put on the back burner for whatever in timings and what have you. We've had the Champions League, we've had the Premier League. I think it's going to be a big night for the fans, because as you say, second leg, we come we're at our best, we're backs to the wall, goal down, and I want to hear the fans be vocal and get behind the guys, because again, we're 95, 96, 97 minutes away from another Wembley appearance, and it's always important to Silverware at this football club, and the earliest chance you get is in you know, the Carabao Cup. So we're a goal down, controversially, as you said. It's a knife for the fans.
Yeah, well, let's bring our Zoom fans back in on this. Josh, I'm sure you'll be in full voice at Anfield on Thursday night. But as the guys say, you know, you're a game away from Wembley and you might have your sights set on loftier targets maybe than the Carabao Cup this season. But this is a competition that has brought the fan base so many brilliant memories in recent seasons, isn't it? And you want to go back there again.
Yeah, well, I specifically remember Jürgen's last final, you know, the last trophy that he won. And he still speaks about that now as like the one he's most proud of because of how much it brought everyone together and, you know, the kids that played a part in the final and things. And I think it's always nice to win a trophy on the way to something bigger maybe. And, you know, there's a few Liverpool players in there now that are playing a bit more of a part now than previous seasons. You know, Gavin Bear comes to mind, for example. So it's a kind of, you know, foster that kind of winning mentality, foster that success ahead of potentially a Premier League title or a Champions League title or both potentially. You know, it'd be nice. But I always enjoy playing Spurs, I'll be honest. I mean, you mentioned there about being in full voice at Anfield, though. I was in full voice in the first leg in London. Went all the way down there and we didn't even score. So hopefully I won't jinx the team again. But hopefully it'll be a bit more like the first time we played in the season where there's 9 goals involved. Because I think if there is, I think most of them will be for the team in red.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Let's go to you, Matt, because, listen, it's only one goal that Spurs bring to Anfield ultimately. Is that really going to be enough for them? It's hard to say that it could be, really.
You're asking me to put my neck on the line there now, aren't you?
But
considering the issues that Spurs have got with the injuries, the form, kind of problems that Ange is facing, and yeah, the fan base is certainly not happy, then you've got to expect that we would be able to turn over one goal. And especially given like how much we're in form. And I think that, you know, what Arne did last week with the PSV game, it means that he can really rely on those players that might come in. He might be able to rotate a little bit for the Spurs game. And then obviously with Plymouth in mind thereafter. So those players now have got a little bit more rhythm, a little bit fresher as well. So I'm sure that he'll be looking to go with pretty much the strongest team available on Thursday, knowing that there's Plymouth thereafter. So when you put Liverpool's form and Spurs' form together, then, you know, there should only be one outcome. And let's all hope that is the outcome that we get and that we expect.
Absolutely. Yashin, let's come to you because I think you've got a question actually for the lads in the studio. Fire away.
Yes, it was. The question was to Jason, really.
I don't have any tickets, mate. No, I've got no tickets.
Sorry, Jason. Sorry. No, I think the question, and even on the supporters club chat, that has been, you know, the most burning one is the defensive right back, the role that Trent plays. And, you know, yourself, you've been a right back there. You've seen how that role has evolved for the years. And now, you know, I think he might be injured today. So, kind of will come in. How do you prepare yourself, you know, knowing that you're coming in, Semenya will be on you, Kekes will be doubling back on that, you know, and all season, you know, you might be targeted. I think today we've seen Gravenberg helping him. I don't know whether the tactic was keep him a bit high up to make Kekes doubt whether he should be bombing that forward just to get on the counter. So I think, you know, just wanted to find out your perspective about how the right back role and what's your view on it?
Well, to be fair, I mean, our team at Liverpool were more wing backs, weren't we? So we were three at the back. You know, the way you play as a wing back is you have the license to go forward. But if you do get caught out, the centre half will come across and he'll fill that gap in that area for you. So you kind of got a bit of a safety net behind you, kind of sweeping up. So you do have that license going forward. Listen, Trent grew up as a centre midfielder, and you know his position has evolved over time. And he got into the team because of Klein's injury, and he kind of had a purpose and sort of took to it like a duck to water. But unfortunately, you know, one of the criticisms of his game is his defensive qualities. And when he comes up against an out and out winger, which you've seen today, Semenyo, he can find it very difficult, and teams will see that as an area they can exploit and try and get some success from. It was a difficult afternoon for him today, because when you do have an out-and-out winger, it's a game of cat and mouse, really. And his natural instinct is to go forward and attack. He wants to get on the ball and he wants to play passes and he wants to put crosses in. And sometimes he can get caught out. So it's just really, really difficult. Listen, he's gone off today. We'll have to see what the injury is, what the prognosis is, and take it from there. But, you know, there's an adequate fullback in Conor Bradley who can come in.
More than adequate, yeah.
Yeah, more than adequate. So I'm okay with that. But it is a difficult position. I mean, people think it's the easiest one to play, but it's not, mate. It's the most difficult. And you never get any pats on the back either.
Well, listen, it remains to be seen whether Trent will be fit for Thursday night. Obviously, we'll have to wait and see the extent of that injury. But, Sammy, how are you expecting him to play it on a slot as strong as possible, you would imagine, especially with Plymouth on the horizon a few days later, where he can afford to maybe have a slightly weaker team, if you like?
Well, I think he'll go strong, because, as you say, you're one hurdle away from the final, which we all want to be in. So I honestly think we'll go strong. And again, as we've said there before, whichever permutation that'll be, will be a strong side. Look at the bench. You know, you've got Joe Gomez again, who's knocking on the door of the squad. So he'll be strong whatever we put out, I hope, you know, because, again, you just that 97, 96 minutes away from potentially another Wembley appearance. And surprised to hear Josh. Don't blame yourself, Josh, for getting beat in the first leg, mate. It's not to do with you. But it will be part. You have your part to play come Thursday, mate. So make sure you're vocal, lad. All right, eh?
Josh, you'll be there singing your heart out, won't you, Josh? What are your thoughts ahead of it? You feeling pretty confident?
Yeah, well, I think it's... It sounds a bit naive to say this, but I think it's one of them games where you can almost just blow them away in a way. I think because of the amount of injuries they've got, it's at Anfield, you know, it will be a night game. We've got a handicap a little bit with the one goal thing, but one goal can be overturned very, very quickly, and it can go to three, you know, at Anfield. So I think given the injuries that they've got, the way they play and things like that, I think it could just be one of them where we just steamroll them, really. But I don't want to get too ahead of myself.
Okay, well, I'm going to cut in there because we are coming to the end of the show. But listen, thank you all on Zoom, and thank you to you two as well in the studio. That is it from Sammy, Jason and myself for today. Liverpool next in action in 5 days' time, as we say, in that second leg of the Carabao Cup semi-final against Tottenham. Match day live with you from 6:45 at Anfield on Thursday. All the action getting underway at 8. As mentioned, Spurs, of course, 1-0 up at the halfway point heading into Thursday's clash. Join us for that if you can. And we've also got the Premier League review show with Neil Mellor on Monday at 6 as well, looking back at today's game. But after a big win on the South Coast, enjoy the rest of your Saturday night. That is it from today's episode of The Reaction. We will be back again, though, on Thursday night after the Carabao Cup semi-final second leg with analysis and exclusive interviews from Anfield 2. Until then, if you haven't already, please give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop.